Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of worship. O Lord God, we pray that none here this evening would fail to sense your presence, your love, your compassion, and most of all, your salvation. We pray that we would constantly be pleading for ourselves, for our loved ones, for our people. We know how deceptive our hearts can be. We can deceive our own selves. But we pray that you will search our hearts, that we may see where our loyalty, that you may see where our loyalty lay. And Lord, that you will show us the way that we should walk. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please remember, next Lord's Day, you will be 1 hour ahead. Don't come late. Yes, Angela, I see you staring. Yes, set your clock forward 1 hour. This is the United States of America, and we would be on time. I know a lot of you are caught napping. That's why the song says, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Louise, you're laughing because you're one that didn't remember. But we should be ever conscious of what's going on around us. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. We read in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that have the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Very strong words to begin a chapter. Now the seven churches in Asia Minor were historical churches that existed in the first century during the apostolic age. They're historical churches. None of them exists today. That country, that place, that region is solely given over to Muslims. And you see how quickly they were removed from God's presence. But God has left many exhortations and warnings for us to consider in these last days from these churches. Each of these churches shared similar problems. Like today, doctrinal infidelity was one of the main problems in these churches. Probably with the exception of one. Smyrna had those who said they were Christians and were not. Revelation 2:9. Pergamos held to the doctrine of Balaam. Revelation 2:14. Thyatira tolerated a woman called Jezebel, a woman preacher, to teach and to seduce its members. And we see how quickly churches can go astray, as we were saying this morning. Don't ever think your church is great or that great. For now, God has kept us a little, but we don't know. And that's why we must watch and pray. Especially for the men and their families. Watch and pray. Sardis, the church we are considering, had none of these things, but were worse off. You see, when there is no problems in a church, it gets comfortable, lackadaisical, sleep. They claimed to be alive, but they were dead. Get used to the rote, the singing, the two hymns, the reading of the word, the preaching. Get used to that. You weren't stirred up. You were dead. Nevertheless, there was hope for the Sardis church based on the text we read in verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect or complete before God. We know that perfection is in Christ. Whatever they were doing, their works were not in Christ. It's not complete. And we must be careful that what we are doing is not complete. Lacking something. Lacking an ingredient. Christ. We'll consider this fifth church that is mentioned among seven to see what insightful help we can draw and how they relate to us today, both individually and corporately. We begin first by looking at this first heading, the spiritual state of the church at Sardis. It's a long heading, but that's what it is. It is what it is. The spiritual state of the church at Sardis. Verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Obviously, no church is populated with the physically dead. The Lord is not speaking in physical terms, but in spiritual terms. We often rank ourselves different than how the Lord ranked us. He is ranking this church. Sometimes you hear reports of churches and everything seems very well. A minister would hardly write and share the problems in his church. Only God can make a correct assessment of one's spiritual state. Man judge what he sees on the outside. God judges what is on the inside of a person. In all of these churches, God direct His revelation to the leadership. The phrase, and to the angel of the church, is the dominant address to all the churches in Revelation 2 and 3. Some churches today have a plurality of elders. And that's a good idea. Others have elders and deacons. But no church should be a one-man show. The pastor should be challenged by officers if he's going in the wrong direction. There should not be yes men. But some churches, if you disagree, I think that Paul alluded to that somehow this morning. The moment you see that there's a church where a man rules the roost, it's no good. I remember in years past, I was serving in the diaconate, and I would walk in here and a preacher would be on the pulpit. And I never knew he was coming. There ought to be transparency between elder and deacons, and elder, deacons, and church. You should be transparent too. Some of you are not transparent. You got to pull things out of you. That's not the church. That's a club. But no church is a one-man show. There ought to be officers seeking the well-being of the local church because God holds the church accountable. And sometimes you may see sins in here that I don't see, and you keep your mouth shut. And when the axe falls, it falls on the whole church. God holds the church accountable. And that's why these letters are addressed to the messenger of the church. Another point of importance in this verse is that the Lord Jesus Christ is in control of the church. These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. God is not only in control of the churches, he is in control of all events in the world. The COVID situation that was around. This war that's going on. God is sitting in the heavens laughing. As I said this morning, this country is under judgment by taunting this same-sex thing. I heard it with my ears. Taunting arrogantly this movement that is going on. And I'm not going to sit quiet on this pulpit. And you know, because you hear it in school and you see it. Children, Hannah, from young, are trained to be that way, as Brother Offney was saying. Girls deciding, I want to be a man. Government tell them, don't worry about it, I got your back. Heard it with my ears. Serious judgment has come. And when it comes in here too. And some of you might have family members. You ain't going to tell me anything that is going down that path. You can't say anything. Because that's the world. Don't say anything. That's the world. But that's not the church. And the pastor has something to say about it. Sardis. Most commentators agree that the seven spirits of God figuratively represents the perfection of the Holy Spirit with all His graces. The seven stars could mean all the churches that are in existence. And that's in Revelation chapter 1, where God defined the churches as the seven stars. But Christ has authority over all the churches. When I talk about all the churches, I'm not talking about these storefronts going up Flatbush Avenue that you can get six for a nickel. I'm speaking about churches that are structured scripturally, that adhere to Scripture. You understand what I'm saying, Brother Dalton? I'm not talking about these things. Because every man that may have a theological degree comes back home and open a storefront, and you see the tabernacle of Brother Depredine, Dr. Depredine, Dr. Clevroy Depredine, founder. Don't go in there. That's a synagogue of Satan. They're all over. I understand that the late governor was just speaking, and my radio was on, in the church on Flatbush Avenue. Would to God he would come here and sit there and listen to the gospel. Not there. You might hear it later tomorrow if you listen to 1010 Veins or if you listen to one of these worldly liberal stations to get the news and the weather and the traffic like I do. You'll hear. That's the church today. Governor. Terrible, terrible sin he committed. On the pulpit. Sad. Christ has authority over the churches, the real churches. The third thing we see in verse 1 is a description of the church's spiritual state. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest in our day. The name that one has, that they are alive, is the church. or that they are Christian. We bear the name of Christ. We are alive in Christ. It's very simple to exegete. That's what we say. Christians in their profession of faith say they have life with Christ and enjoy life with His church. If these things are not real in our lives, it is quite clear that we do not have spiritual life. We're dead. We're saying we have life, and at the same time, we're spiritually dead. And this was the problem at Sardis. And the Holy Spirit unveils it for me and you to see. We are not zombies. We are not disembodied spirits in the church. People are either spiritually alive or they're spiritually dead. And the Lord knows who they are. Remember that verse? Those words of the apostle? As he was speaking to Timothy, he was reminding Timothy that in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some to honor and some to dishonor. I'm quoting from 2 Timothy 2, 20 and 21. Verse 21 says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself or purges himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, separated, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. The great house, of course, is the church of Jesus Christ. But within the walls of that house, there are two kinds of vessels. Some of honor, some of dishonor. We don't necessarily know them. God calls upon all to seek cleansing of His blood, that we may be fit for the Master's use. The gospel goes to all. He says, Timothy, remember this. In a great house, there are many vessels. And then he slams the point home by telling Timothy, you must preach repentance in that great house. You must not let up. If any man purges himself, cleanses himself, he will be a vessel fit for every good work. And the reason why people are not fit to work for God, they're not cleansed. Bible teaching is very, very serious. You can't mess around the scriptures. You've got to explain the scriptures better. The name we call ourselves doesn't mean anything. The life Christ gives is what makes us spiritually alive. First head, therefore, shows the spiritual state of the church at Sardis. God didn't leave them like that, though, wonderfully. God is gracious. The application we can make quickly is, how would you define your spiritual state before God this evening? When a person is spiritually dead, certain characteristics will prevail, just like when one is physically dead. They would not have, even when you're sick, you don't have any appetite. This recent virus, one of the main drawbacks was people was telling me that they lost their appetite. I don't know if you will bear me out on this. They lost their appetite. They lost their strength. It's the same thing spiritually. If you find that is happening to you, you don't have any spiritual appetite. You don't have no spiritual strength. Well, you may be spiritually dead. It's hard for me to fathom how people can go long, long stretches without the Word of God. Oh, I hear it on the radio.
Yeah.
Family Radio is back, by the way, at 92.7
FM.
But it's not the same. It has become a little liberal and a little, I don't say in a bad way, because some of them might be hearing me, but what used to happen and who used to be there before, you wouldn't hear it now. The standard has shifted. And I picked it up, but I wouldn't say anything. I still support them sometimes, because they at least they have the gospel on the radio. And it's a source where you can maybe listen to a sermon or be soothed by a hymn or something. That's all we listen to for the Christmas spirit in Zimbabwe. That's what kept us going, the Christmas music down there. But the application is, if you find that you have lost your appetite or you're losing your appetite, you should look at yourself. People that don't have spiritual life will manifest these characteristics. This will manifest itself in the appetite for spiritual food. When a church is spiritually dead, it would not have an interest in those around them who are spiritually dead. Everybody will be laughing. They wouldn't have an interest. And I'm afraid that these elements are in our church. We don't have an interest in those in our church who we sense that are spiritually dead. We make jokes with them. We treat them as business as usual, but never an evangelical statement we say to them. Never. How did you like the gospel today? How did that word affect you today? Nothing of that sort. When you're spiritually dead, you're not interested in those around you who are spiritually dead. Those are signs to look for in church. I make friends very quickly. Maybe too quickly, because that's when you get hurt the most. We speak a lot about missions, especially the extended missionary work in Zimbabwe. But very few of you show an interest in this extended work. Very few. Probably count them on one hand. That is not a good sign. I show a missionary report. Oh yes, we didn't take any questions. But I never hear anything after. That's not a good sign. The whole church should be interested in her extended missions and her ministry. The whole church. Sardis was dead. Maybe we too are in that state. As God assess us. Listen to these things carefully. They would not have spiritual life. They would not have a spiritual interest in the loss. They would not have a spiritual interest in missions. This is a church that is characterized of having a name, that they are alive on a day. Point number two, the instructions to the church at Sardis, verses 2-4. The instructions are there. There are at least three warnings given to the church at Sardis, which every church member must take heed of. A, be watchful. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Watch within. Like Spurgeon wrote a book, The Pastors, and he gave much time to the minister's self-watch, the preacher's self-watch. How he must watch himself. And some of you may not like to hear that. Watch yourself in your relationship to your wife. You hear what I say? Church is very quiet. Watch yourself And some wives would like this, but they have to watch themselves in relationship to their husbands. But I am not talking about that. I'm talking about the minister. Watch yourself in relationship to your wife. I am not going to say anything personally because my wife is going to chastise me. But watch that. Is she running your life? Is she the boss? That's a sign of a dead church. But there was hope in Sardis where the Lord called on them to be watchful and strengthen the things that remain. You cannot strengthen that which has no life. You cannot strengthen that which is dead. There was apparent life. It is apparent that there was a remnant in Sardis. And there's always a remnant, a part of the whole. A Christian is strengthened in the Word of God. The Christian is strengthened by others of like mind. Think of your church. 1 John 2:14, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong. The word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Ephesians 6:10-11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You're strengthened in the word of God, in the things of God, in the people of God. The armor of God, of course, is salvation. Make sure you put on the armor. It's a complete armor, and it is articulated with different things. But you don't have one without the other. You don't have the shoes of the gospel, you don't, and not the shield of faith. It's a soldier that is decked out in his gear. That's the Christian. Read it carefully and see if you have the armor. When the church has lost her vision for children's ministries and other evangelistic efforts, it is ready to die. When a church has lost her interest in children's ministries and youth, that church is dying. You hear what I say? When young people disappear from their places, the church is dying. And parents should be interested in their church. Don't want the church to die in our generation. This young man desires 31. We're grabbing hold of two other young men. Pearson, terrible. His father is a terrible example. Chidamba sent his son off near Bulawayo. And the next thing you know, his name was called for raping some girl down there. But that's Zimbabwe. But what about here? Yeah. I investigated. I will. Chidamba ain't tell me nothing. But somebody said, did Chidamba tell you what happened to Pearson? I said, no. Tell me. These are the ones we're looking at for Bible Club to come up. The church, brethren. That's the church. Strengthen the things that we need and that are ready to die. The Holy Spirit call on this church to be watchful and strengthen the things. Not only the ministers, but those of the remnant. The other inclusive exhortation is, retain the word. Remember the word. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. I know a man that had two watchmen. He was watching. His watchmen were watching over there in Zambia, Lusaka. Brother get up in the morning with these two watchmen on duty, and his truck was on cement bricks, and all four tires are gone. Evidently, the watchmen were sleeping. Some Christians are like that, they're sleeping. The word remember testifies to the fact that the church at Sardis had forgotten some basic fundamentals of the faith. They were hearers of the word, but they were not doers of the word. There were as they who saw their faces in the mirror and quickly forgot how it looked. They were not responding to what they hear from the word. Some allow what they hear to slip away just as quick as they have heard it. I have a knack in remembering sermons I preached 6-7 years ago, outline and all. The gospel here is no sooner concluded before many are busy in the hallways discussing the trivialities of this world. Because I hear a job, an educational assignment, a promotion, trivialities that will soon blow away. I remember as a young man, I was telling the guys yesterday, when I look at myself, I look at my sister, grew up as siblings together. Look at us now, walking with a cane. Look at us. Some of you, when I first came here, nice, slim, and trim. Look at some of us now. Don't call our names. We are fading. Fading, brethren. We're forgetting quickly. Gospel is no sooner sounded out before we forget it. First issues a warning, therefore thou should not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. Thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. You see how our days are slipping away? You see? Right before our eyes. Or our time to come into church is dwindling. We don't know if we're going to have the strength to come. And that's why we are told, remember how you have received and heard and watch. To hold fast is to grip. Hold fast. To get hold of. To retain what you have received and heard. The church at Sardis received and heard. Apparently, the church of Sardis was just a few miles, like 40 miles from Ephesus. And I would not be surprised if they didn't have good men there, not only Paul, who the other guy named now, Brother Curtis, the sweet mouth guy, Apollos, all of these, they probably passed through there, they pulpit supply. You have heard from men that pass through and do pulpit supply here. However, it does not matter how much one receives from the word through hearing, but what they retain. Some of you have notebooks, some of you are writing, but what are you writing? Only that which is retained and sustained will bring spiritual life. You tell me that most of what you hear, I don't remember the percentage, and maybe some of you know, is forgotten. And that's why you have to have a good memory or you have to have a good notebook to retain. The Lord calls the church Sardis, hold fast, hold on, repent. The scripture goes on to say, therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon thee. That is true. You don't know what hour that you would walk your last step. And if you doubt me, even ask Charlie. You don't know. I don't know. when I would not be able to eat another meal. When I had that surgery, for more than a week, I didn't want to see food. No appetite. Well, thankfully, God gave me back a measure of appetite. But you don't know what I'm talking about. Same thing spiritually. You don't know. Be watchful. And watch those that are ready to die. This is also included. This, of course, can have a dual meaning. A natural and a physical. In a practical sense, many of our seniors are losing their natural strength. They are nearer to death than before. And I am paying a particular attention to them. And some of them have abandoned the church. They are literally ready to die in a physical sense. But they may be ready to die in a spiritual sense. You don't monkey around with the gospel. This verse, we'll look at it again. Strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. This verse has a dual meaning. You know the ones that are nearer to their grave as a minister that this warning is coming to. Watch those that are soon departing, lest I come. It's a warning to gospel ministers to watch your people and bring the gospel to them in the hallway, in the sanctuary, in the home. Because they're nearer to the grave and they're nearer to eternal damnation. Watch them. And we have some here in this church that are ready. I can go anytime. But it is more evident that those we see limping, institutionalized, that we be careful to bring them to the throne of grace. And stop skinning your teeth like everything is all well. This church was accused of being dead. What are we being accused of? We are to seek to strengthen those ones spiritually. We are to warn the elderly in our congregation whose spiritual interest is evaporating or has evaporated. In a sense, they're ready to die. We are to be a doer, not a hearer. Only. We are to retain that which is taught. No one remembers everything. Like I said, that's why we take notes. So I showed you two subheads, didn't I? Remember. You should remember these two subheads, brother. Retain the word. Be watchful. Retain the word. But the message to us all is to remember. To retain. Lest the Lord comes. But we have a number three, number C. Verse 4. Be thankful. Be thankful. You see this here, right? And it was not all a lost cause in Sardis. The head of the church called on them to be thankful. Verse 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Be thankful. Be thankful. It was not all a lost cause. And every church that is faithfully preaching the gospel will have a remnant. a few names within the church at Sardis had the assurance that their clothes were not marred and contaminated. This shows that there were some who maintained personal spiritual purity amidst what was swirling around them. They weren't contaminated by what they were hearing and seeing. Historically, some were in this church that had remained true and faithful. They had not defiled their garments. This phrase means that they had not changed their doctrine. They did not shift from the truth to another gospel. The garment believers are adorned with is the robe of Christ's righteousness. When we develop doctrines that are based on human works, as I was sharing this morning, it is as if we have defiled our garment. God said that Israel's righteousness were as filthy rags. And that word denotes really a menstruous rag. That's how he describes his people. We are to be careful. We do not teach in a way that will cause those in our church to be clothed with defiled garments. Who man had to be shared. Spiritual state of the church at Sardis. The instructions to the church under three subheads. You get the tape. Go over it. Last main point, the promise to the church at Sardis. State of the church, instructions to the church, promise to the church. 5. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Remember Moses prayed and said, Lord, if you want to destroy these people like one man, blot me out. And the Lord said, no, he who sinned against me, I will blot out. It seems as though God has a book. I don't know if it's an imaginable book with the names of the whole creation. God has this giant book. I don't know, Louise, what it looks like. And apparently some names are blotted out. I hope that my name would not be blotted out. He knows our name. But I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels, his angels. The promise to every organized church is the same as to the church at Sardis. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. It's the same thing as Christ's righteousness. Not a white dress. This is in contrast to those whose garments are defiled. It's a figure of those who have no righteousness. The former is a figure. Defiled garments are those who have no righteousness. But Christ has made unto his people wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. These words were spoken by James, by Jesus, sorry. He said, whoever deny me, I will deny. But whoever confess me, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. They are identical to Revelation chapter 3. He said these words in Luke 12, 8 and 9. Also I say unto you, whoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Verse 9, Luke 12, 9. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. So the promise to each Christian is the same eternal life. The exhortation to Sardis, the church, is also common to all the churches. He, in verse 6, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The word saith is in the present tense. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, God brings the word, the Spirit of God explains the word, speaks the word that you can hear. Everybody do not have the ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. You should be always praying before any word of God is preached, Lord, give me ears to hear. If you pray like that and you mean it, guess what? He will give you ears to hear. Before you come here, that's what you should be praying. You need ears to hear what is being said. Because it is only he that hears the word will become an overcomer. Not only we see the seven churches of Asia Minor, but all the churches throughout time who are given ears to hear, that will hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So, the church at Sardis is by no means unique. Every church has a name that they are living. But we all must look for those vital signs of life. You know, when the paramedics come in the ambulance on a scene that just had an accident with fatalities, when they look at this one and they check vital signs, there's none, they leave him for last. Check this one, got vital signs, they pick him up. Take him to the emergency. But the one that have no vital signs, the morgue comes for him. You don't have vital signs, you're dead. If you have vital signs, you may be ready to die, but at least you can live. This is a powerful message. I don't know why I picked this one out of the seven, because I have a record of all seven churches, and maybe I should share the rest. If you guys want me to do it, I'll do it. But the church here is not unique. It represents all churches, and we must have these signs in our pilgrimage. And these words are to us also. We are also instructed by the Word of God. Be watchful, strengthen the things that remain, that are ready to die. And I explain this dual meaning. This is each man's calling. Seek, strengthen, and to seek strength that comes from above. But let us be thankful. The last point, let us be thankful for small mercies. Let us be thankful for the remnant who has not defiled themselves, who are yet loyal to the gospel, to the cause of Christ. Be thankful. We pray that you would have understood this short message tonight. God bless you for the presence. Read. Okay. Oh Lord God, we pray that this evening would not have been a wasted evening. At times we labor in the Word and we wonder if the Word is getting through. But Lord, this is in your hands, and we pray, oh Lord, that you will do abundantly, exceedingly above all that we ask or think. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.